Thanks, Brian.
Yeah.
Get that phone there. You might get a phone call before the hour's over. Well, good morning. Can everyone hear me this morning? Are we okay? All right. Is that a yes or no? Yes, okay. Very good. What a true pleasure it is to be able to worship with you folks this morning and see so many old friends among you. What a beautiful job of improving your outdoor grove here. Also, I haven't been here for some time, but I see a sign there by the flag and flagstone here and new benches, and it looks beautiful. It really does. I think, without a doubt, this is the most incredible place to host an outdoor service. Debbie and I are so proud of all of you folks here at Bethel, and we cherish our relationship with you and also your new relationship with ECO Presbyterian Church. As we look at Scripture here in a few moments, let's ask for God to open our eyes and for the meaning of the Scripture may it come to us. Let's pray. We await your message, dear Father. Sometimes we do not like what we hear, but we know that we need to listen. Your message is inclusive and fair. You call us out of our comfort to do new things. Speak your truth to us in this outdoor spot with your nature in abundance, so that we can carry it to other places where you want us to go. And may the Scripture we read and the message I deliver be meaningful to us and pleasing to you. Amen. Our readings this morning come from Psalm 121 and also John 16. The psalmist says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And then our New Testament scriptures from John 16, verses 16 to 22. Jesus is speaking here. He said, in a little while, you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. And some of his disciples said to one another, what does he mean by saying, in a little while, you will see me no more, and then after a little while, you will see me? And because I am going to the Father. And they kept asking, what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he's saying. Well, Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, are you asking one another what I meant when I said, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child is pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you. Now is your time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. Dear friends, the good news of the gospel is that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord will last forever. Amen. Well, our summer this year has included some pretty warm temperatures, and it's slowly beginning to slip away, I'm afraid. Do you know that the first day of school in Augusta County, 3 weeks from now, 3 weeks, August the 9th, and somehow it seems like when those big old yellow school buses come driving around in the streets, that the summer party is definitely all over. And colleges seem to be starting a little bit earlier this year too. Even the sun is losing 2 minutes a day each evening to darkness. We're headed for fall. And all of this, I think, gives us a feeling of an upcoming new season, a new chapter in our lives. Saying goodbye to some things and some chapters, and hello to others. And I kind of know that with you fellow older folks, those seasons, they seem to be coming quicker and quicker, don't they? Don't know what it is, but time does fly by. I still remember, it was 50 years ago, okay, it was 53 years ago, July of 1970, that a group of us guys got together one last time before we started packing off for college, or Virginia Tech, or VCU, or UVA, Madison College. And someone said that night in July when we were all eating burgers over at Wright's Dairy, right, that we would soon be moving out of our parents' home, probably never to reside there permanently again. And not only that, but many of us would never see a Ford football game again, except perhaps at homecoming. You know, our ties would be cut off from the school that we had spent 5 years of happiness and growth. And then there were the high school girlfriends whom we cared deeply for. And they most likely would be traveling on to distant schools and likely change course completely, marry some fellow college student as they began new relationships there. And all of that made for some very sobering thoughts, along with some silent mourning. Well, of course, I didn't say anything, but as an upcoming day student at Bridgewater College, and living with my parents, who lived directly beside the Fort Defiance High School football field, I didn't really feel the nostalgia and that was piercing the other fellas. And to this day, Debbie and I live about 75 yards from the football goalposts at Fort Defiance. So every day when I drive down my lane, I always see the school. And every home football game comes through loud and clear, too. Teachers always said I'd never go very far, and I guess they were right. But I must admit that from that time on, I looked at the school differently. You know, some things you just really can't go back to. High school doors were closed, college doors were open. And isn't that just the way life is? It seems like we're always in transition in our relationships with school or work or people or location, or more importantly, with our own time on this earth. Shakespeare pictured life in 7 different stages. He said that we are all actors who have our entrances and our exits from the stage, life stage. That is our hellos and our goodbyes. And we play 7 parts. And you probably weren't expecting a lecture from Shakespeare this morning, were you? But here it is. Here's what he said, and I quote, "First, the infant crying in the mother's arms. Then the whining schoolboy, unwilling to go to school. Third, the lover sighing like a furnace. And then you're the soldier, jealous in honor, seeking the bubble reputation, even in the cannon's mouth." Okay. "The fifth role is you become the justice with fair round belly, full of wise saws and modern instances. And then the fellow in lean and slippered pantaloons with spectacles on the nose, with voice turning to childish treble, and whistles in his voice even." Yeah, that's me right there. Spectacles, and I can whistle real well. I do try to stay away from panel benzo. And then finally, the seventh stage of our lives, this final stage, the last scene, second childlessness, without teeth or without taste, without everything, end quote. Well, there is a more meaningful book that I would recommend to you. It's called The Seven Seasons of a Man's Life. It's written by Patrick Morley, and it also applies equally to women. It's about the different stages of life that we go through. It's a great book. It has a Christian perspective to it. And without a doubt, we've all climbed the rungs of life as we struggle with the meaning of life. Just 10 days ago, Debbie's daughter and son-in-law had a new daughter. Her name is Goldie. She's born on the 5th of July. And as I looked at her the other day, I couldn't help but think of all the joys and sorrows that she's going to be experiencing in her years to come. So many hellos, so many goodbyes, so much to learn, so much to experience. We wish we could be with her every step of the way, but of course we can't. And all you can do is to build a faith foundation and ask for God to be with her, and she with him. So what does our faith say to us in transition? Well, let's say this first of all, without a doubt. God does call on us to say some goodbyes in life. You know, we need to give up childhood and youth if we're ever going to become an adult. The apostles of Jesus, Peter, James, and John, they gave up their fishing nets in order to be fishers of people. And you remember Abraham said farewell to his homeland in order to found a new nation. And in the book of Ruth in the Old Testament, hey, she did so too. You know, there are so many different meanings of the scripture in Ruth. But in essence, I think that Ruth leaves with her mother-in-law and surrenders the comfort of her home country because she has such a remarkable faith for such a young person. Faith that instilled upon her the desire, the purpose for her to look ahead. And as she told Naomi, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and my God, your God." And without a doubt, her faith in the Almighty allowed her to open up a new chapter in her life. Our God was with Ruth in her comings and goings, her hellos and goodbyes. It's one of the most touching scriptures in the Bible, I think. Or look at the role of parents as we see it today. The parental role is to love our children so much that we are willing to give them up. Now, that's tough. That's a tough one. But it's the only way that our children can become responsible adults who will live and reason and act on their own. And we need to surrender some of our old selves too, don't we? In our schools and churches, we stress education and growth. Well, maybe in some other states, other things are being taught in schools. We won't go there this morning. But we use words like nurture and maturation and growth to describe our leaving the old to become new. In our churches, especially your new one, the Eco-Presbyterian ones, we seek nothing less than transformation, and that is what growth in faith is all about. We make friends, and we must let them become who they need to be. How often we say goodbye to those we have loved. Isn't that true? You know, there's a tree at the high school, at the fort, it's right beside us, planted in memory of a friend Beside the tree is a plaque that says, some people come into our lives and quickly go. And some stay for a while and leave footprints in our hearts. And we're never the same. And of course, the most painful of all is giving up those we love to death. You know, whether they're our parents or friends or spouses or heaven forbid, our children. God does expect us to say some goodbyes in life. And we know it's not easy. But in our goodbyes and hellos, our coming and going, friends, we have to trust that God will lead us in our journey. The psalm we read this morning offers us a blessing, where the psalmist says, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time and forevermore. Psalm 121. And perhaps that relates to many of our experiences of goodbyes and hellos. You know, there's an anxiety, isn't there, as we look to our future, you know, giving up security and moving to the unknown is very challenging. You know, we want to be in control, but yet we want to see what's out there too. I do believe that if we could see our future sometimes, we might not be so real happy with that either. That sounds like a recipe for sleepless nights. But there's a sense of nervousness, whether we talk about the future of our lives or the church's life or our family's future. There is anxiety. I mean, I have a strong suspicion that in the transition of Bethel this spring, there was some anxiety among the session leaders and the congregation. You know, would the congregation split, or would we gain new members? And how do we gracefully leave PCUSA? Well, I hope this scripture was a comfort to those leaders. Our Lord will be with you for all your comings and goings, and He will certainly be with you folks here at Bethel for years to come. So when we're in the creases of life, in the transitions, when we're living on the edge, we need to remember those words. I think it's a lot like the 23rd Psalm, where it speaks of the shepherd who leads, and he leads the anxious sheep through the valley of death, as well as the still waters too. And it's all right. It's okay if the shepherd leads the way. There's a neat old country hymn. I'm sure you know it. I'm sure Joanna's played it a few times. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words of heavenly comfort fraught. Whatever I do, wherever I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful followers I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Okay. God in His loving kindness will meet us at every corner, at every transition, at every goodbye and hello. And with every leaving, something new can be born. Goodbyes can always be a prelude to some hello. You know, some goodbyes are super sad. You know, we leave behind someone or something that's very important to us. I can still remember when my parents, way back in the 1950s, decided to pull up roots and move us from southwest Iowa, 1,200 miles to the Shenandoah Valley, and to a farm on Middlebrook Road, not far from here. Well, that morning before leaving, we drove over to my grandparents' home in Coyne, Iowa, to say goodbye. And there were many tears. I was so young, I didn't really understand all of the ramifications, but I could easily tell from everyone's expression that it was a big deal. But it was a good move for us. It gave my family many new opportunities Many new and exciting chapters opened up for us. And with every goodbye, there's a chance for a new you. There's an opportunity for a hello. Jesus said that to the disciples before his death. He said, it's in John 16, "It is important that I go." And they were grieving and wanting to hang on to him and hold him. Nope. He said, "It's to your advantage that I go." Well, how could that be? I mean, they had already said goodbye to him at the cross, and then hello to him at the resurrection. And now it's time to say goodbye again? How could that be good for him? Well, a whole new experience would be born, because Jesus' spirit would be with them. And that spirit would not be bound by time or by space. You know, the human Jesus had been limited to Jerusalem and Galilee. But the spirit of Jesus was boundless, able to be everywhere. In other words, Jesus of Nazareth was limited to the first century. But Jesus' spirit is alive in every century and at all times to be with us. Jesus' eternal presence in the Holy Spirit makes disciples new in every age and time. And the Spirit of Christ can be a comforter and an advocate for us today. There are no restrictions. I think there are always possibilities and transitions if we are open to them, even in changes that at first seem real ugly and unwelcome. There's always an open door and an opportunity to grow and mature, even when another door has closed. You know, something new is born if we will watch and pray and open our arms to it. I've seen this in relationships that have been broken or ended, and in business opportunities that have failed in tragic times. You know, this COVID thing over the past couple of years has ruined so many dreams, and some business people did not even recover from their efforts. But overall, what appears to be a dead end is often a new beginning. New life can be born, and resurrection can happen in our lives after tragedy and death if we trust and wait and hope for God's Spirit. In John 14, verse 3, Jesus comforts his disciples. And he says, and such a great scripture here, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back. And I'll take you with me, that you may also be where I am." And friends, that is powerful scripture. And of course, remember that goodbye is simply a contraction for "God be with you." A few years ago, 1999 to be precise, Billy Graham was invited to attend a luncheon in his honor in Charlotte. He initially hesitated to accept the invitation because he was beginning to struggle with Parkinson's disease. But the Charlotte leader said, "You know, we don't expect a major address. Just come and let us honor you." And so he agreed. And after wonderful things were said about him, Dr. Graham stepped up to the rostrum and he looked at the crowd and said, "You know, I'm reminded today of Albert Einstein, the great physicist who this very month has been honored by Time magazine as the man of the century." You know, now Einstein, of course, for all of his brilliance, was a little forgetful. But back to Billy's story. Einstein was once traveling from Princeton on a train, and the conductor came down the aisle, you know, punching the tickets of all the passengers. And when he came to Einstein, Einstein reached into his vest pocket, and he couldn't find his ticket. So he reached into his trousers pocket, and it wasn't there. And he looked in his briefcase, and he couldn't find it. And then he looks in the seat beside him. He still couldn't find it. Well, Billy Graham said, the conductor said, "Dr. Einstein, it's not a problem. I know who you are. We all know who you are. I'm sure you bought a ticket. Don't worry about it." And Einstein nodded appreciatively. Well, the conductor continued on down the aisle punching tickets. And as he was ready to move to the next car, he turned around and he saw the great mathematician. He was down on his knees, looking under his seat for his ticket. And so the conductor rushed back and said, Dr. Einstein, don't you worry. I know who you are. No problem. You don't need a ticket. I'm sure you bought one." And Einstein looked at him and said, "Young man, I too know who I am. What I don't know is where I'm going." Having said that, Billy Graham continued, "See the suit I'm wearing? It's a brand new suit. My children and my grandchildren are telling me I've gotten a little slovenly in my old age. I used to be a bit more fastidious. So I went out and bought a new suit for this luncheon. And one more occasion. You know what that occasion is? This is the suit that I'm going to be buried in. But when you hear that I'm dead, I don't want you to immediately remember the suit that I'm wearing. I want you to remember this. I not only know who I am, I know where I'm going." Billy Graham had the faith that God would be with him, that he would watch out for him in his comings and his goings. Great story. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And friends, if Billy Graham knew where he was going, and if he were comfortable with that journey, knowing that God was making the journey with him, then shouldn't it make sense to us Christians to be comforted? I hope you're content with the changes in your lives, the hellos and goodbyes. Even baby Goldie, after less than 2 weeks of life, has gone through some changes. You know, she was so comfortable in her mother's womb, so warm, so dark, so protected. And when she was born, she saw bright lights and loud noises. I mean, Goldie has two brothers and a sister, a mother and a father, and two dogs in the house. There's going to be a lot of loud noises. It's going to be a whole new world. And she cried. But she'll learn to love the changes and never want to go back to the darkness of pre-birth. And when she's elderly, Goldie will likely be sad about leaving this life. But a new door will open for her also. Even our dying is a prelude to new life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time and forevermore. And one more thing. Here's a cherry on top. In Revelation, it's Revelation 21. It clearly says he will wipe away every tear from your eyes. In other words, there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed. And friends, when that time has come, when that joyful reunion is prepared for us, as Jesus promises, then we'll never have to say goodbye again. Amen. Our next hymn this morning, "Jesus Loves Me." Thank you.
Please remain standing for the acknowledgement of our faith. With immense gratitude and respect to God Almighty, empowered by the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as believers in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we strive to serve Him in our daily walk in life. We work diligently to live holy and joyful lives as we watch for tomorrow, which we know will bring God's new heaven and new earth. Today, as faithful followers of God's ministry, we rejoice in knowing that nothing in this life, including our death, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, may our time spent here this morning together be found pleasing to you, and may you receive all the glory in all we do in your disciples. For by your love and the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. You may be seated. Now it's time for joys and concerns and the offering. We can get a couple deacons, a couple elders, whatever we need to come down and get the offering. Do we have any joys from the congregation this morning?
Thanks to Mark for being here.
Well, thank Mark for being here.
Hey, my pleasure.
Exactly. Any concerns? I know we have a few extra people added to our prayer list. Some of y'all know Eddie Bartley and Eddie Sensabaugh. Eddie Bartley is now at home. I hear he's doing better. And Eddie Sensabaugh is scheduled for a new surgery. I don't know exactly what that was. A shoulder replacement, getting something else replaced. He's bionic now. Any other concerns? Well, as we wait on the deacons come back, we'll have Mark pray over the offering.
Let's thank God now for these gifts. Lord, may our offerings leave no doubt that you are head of our church and the inspiration for our lives. Help us to find joy in our serving and glorifying of your name. Dear God, may these gifts, which we ask you to bless, may they never be a substitute for the giving of ourselves. Amen. Let's bow our heads as we continue in our prayers. Dear Lord, behold us in your tender compassion as we join our hearts in prayer. We are like journeymen, weary with the road, anxious to find our rest in you. We are like children, too long away from home, yearning to be welcomed back into your embrace. We are like strangers, not sure of the world we live in, not sure of the people we live with, needing to find our brethren all around us. We are like pilgrims, struggling on and hoping on against great odds, looking for a better world and a better share in it. We are like sinners, every one of us, satisfied in our wrongdoing, deceived by temptation, full of pride and self-centeredness, needing to be endowed with that righteousness which you have given to all who seek you in penitence. O Lord, reward our search by being found of us until we shall be so sure of nothing as of you. If we bless you with ease when life is orderly and to our liking, then we bless you in necessity when duress and disappointment and defeat stab us awake to the fact that we are made to be better than we've ever dared attempt, and for a nobler end than we have ever been diligent to seek, called by a holier name than we've ever given to ourselves. We thank you for your comforting words of Psalm 23, and we are grateful that we, as your flock, have you as our shepherd. And we rejoice that you stand with us in our comings and in our goings. Yet, Lord, you have been so gracious to us. We've all had our aches and pains, our days when we're up and down. But you've given us wonderful gifts. We live in the most beautiful part of our commonwealth. We live in the greatest country in the world. We have comfort beyond belief compared to other nations. We have the freedom to worship you and to thank you for these gifts. Not everyone in the world has those opportunities, and we are so thankful. But we can do better as caretakers of those gifts and better stewards of our nation. Grant our leaders the ability to place our country first and to be caring for all of its citizens. And if they cannot or will not do so, give us the ability to bring in new people to represent us. We ask for a simpler, more caring government with liberty and justice for all. For those suffering in our midst, we know that you're watching over them this morning. Dear Lord, we also ask for your blessings upon our Christian comrades who are not with us today. May you reassure them that they are blessed by you and missed by us. Comfort our friends and loved ones who are hurting physically and spiritually. May your healing touch ease their pain and anxiety. Dear God, we are grateful for previous generations, long ago, even centuries, of our founders of Bethel Presbyterian. For those who have gone before us and made our church what it is today, we give you thanks. May future years bring new people into our sanctuary, and may they likewise feel blessed to be part of our church and thankful for what we are doing. We come to you now with hearts in need of a quiet conversation with you. We open our private voices, asking for relief of many things that we cannot openly discuss with others. We know you will listen to us, and we promise to listen to your response to our needs. But we also know that it is your will be done. And we speak privately with you now. Amen.